Rita Hills is going to come and read to us from Colossians chapter 3, and then from Acts chapter 4, and then Matt's going to come and speak to us.
The first reading is Colossians chapter 3, and it's verses 16 to 17. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct each other with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks to through him to God the Father. And the second reading is Acts chapter 4, and it's verses 1 to 13. Peter and John before the council. Peter and John were still speaking to the people when some priests, the officer in charge of the temple guard, and some Sadducees arrived. They were annoyed because the two apostles were teaching the people that Jesus had risen from death, which proved that the dead will rise to life. So they arrested them and put them in jail until the next day, since it was already late. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priest Annas and with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power have you got? Or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands here before you, completely well, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised to death, from death. Jesus is the one of whom the scripture says, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised, turned out to be the most important of all.' Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us." The members of the council were amazed to see how bold Peter and John were, and to learn that they were ordinary men of no education. They realized then that they had been companions of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray as we come to look at this passage together. Father God, we thank you for your word and the way that you reveal yourself through it, and that we can learn of you from what we have written down about your life and about your character and about your people living out in the early church. Lord God, we pray as we come to look at this passage in Acts chapter 4 today, you would speak to us again. May you reveal more of yourself. And may we know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Names can make a lasting impact upon us. Some names have an impact upon us because they inspire us. If I was to say to you the name of Martin Luther King or of Mother Teresa or Nelson Mandela, then you are likely to remember the individuals and the things that these individuals achieved and be inspired to be someone who also makes a difference in your lifetime too, just like they did. Other names can have an impact on us because of a sense of fun or a sense of adventure. Maybe it's the name of your favourite comedian or your favourite writer or your favourite artist. When you hear that name, it will automatically make you think of something more highly because who's associated with it. For example, for me personally, if I see of something produced by Aaron Sorkin or that has Will Ferrell or James Corden in it, then I'm likely to get more excited about watching it because I know that I like those people who are in it. Some names also convey a sense of power, whether it is positively or negatively. For example, Queen Elizabeth II or Kim Jong-un, the supreme leader of North Korea, convey a sense of power when you hear that their names, whether that be negatively or positively in how they use that power. This morning, we are going to be looking at this passage from Acts chapter 4, where we hear of the impact that Jesus' name is having, not only on the disciples, but on all those who were hearing of the name of Jesus and all that he had achieved in his life and all that he had done for people. In this passage, we hear of a man who has been healed at the name of Jesus. We see people recognize that their hope is in Jesus alone and their need to follow him. And we see the impact that Jesus has made on his disciples, giving them boldness and confidence to share the good news with anyone who would listen. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. And as we celebrated Easter, we remembered the impact that Jesus made on people during his life and his ministry on earth, and in particular in his death and resurrection. But the Easter story is not the end of the Christian story. Instead, the Easter story is the start of the church, where God uses his people, his disciples, to go out into the world and influence whole communities with through the power of Jesus' name. Easter is the start of the church. And in the book of Acts, we continue to see how the church then goes out and continues to grow after Jesus' resurrection. Like Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela, like their names have an impact on us today, Jesus' name made an impact on people 2,000 years ago. And I hope that this morning we will see that Jesus' name can still have an impact on us today as well. The first point that I would like to suggest as to why Jesus' name makes an impact on us today is because his name brings with it hope. In the first four verses of Acts chapter 4, we hear how Peter and John were traveling around speaking to people of the resurrection of Jesus, and the leaders got annoyed with them and arrested them. Now, this might seem like a trivial fact, but the fact that the leaders disliked what Peter and John were saying enough to arrest them is significant. The message of Jesus' death and resurrection was unpopular for the leaders of the day. It was unpopular because it was a message of change, a message of change that the leaders did not feel comfortable with. Now, when I see change, I often get excited. When Leeds United get a new manager, I get excited. It happens regularly. And I get excited because I hope that with a new manager coming in, finally we'll be able to score some goals and win some games, and the club will be able to be restored to be the great footballing club of Europe that's going to go and dominate the whole of the European Champions League once again. I get excited at that. Often when there's a change of government, I get excited about the plans that a new group have for the better future of our country together. Maybe as we approach a new election, some of you are getting excited about the possibility of what's going to happen in the uncertainty of who will win, whose plans will shape our country going forward together. What change will there be for the better? Times of change can bring hope for many, but times of change can also bring with it huge uncertainty. For owners of a football club, there is uncertainty as to whether or not they've got the right man. Did they make the right decision? Did they make the right decision in sacking the old guy and bringing someone in? Should they have given the last guy a bit more time instead? For those with different political ideas, an election result is announced. If you support a different political view, then you might be uncertain about the new people who are in charge. Likewise for the Sadducees, the change and the hope that Jesus had brought to the world would have been unsettling for them. Only a short while, it was so unsettling ago for them that they decided to take this guy who was going around preaching and getting a group of people to follow him, and they decided to nail him to a cross to stop him. And then next thing they know is that there's rumours of him being risen from the dead and people continuing to follow him. Not only that, resurrection was something that the Sadducees fundamentally didn't believe was possible. But the Sadducees were not concerned about whether Jesus had just risen from the dead and whether that was possible. This wasn't just a doctrinal issue that they had. They were seriously concerned that people were following Jesus and his disciples and what they were saying and believing him. And they were concerned what this might have meant for them as individuals and as leaders of the day. Peter and John were spreading the message that Jesus died and rose again, not to keep things the way that they were, but instead to tell of the news that Jesus had died and risen again to bring in a new world, a world where death was not the end. In this new world, there was hope for all. There was hope of people being reunited with the risen God, that there was hope of barriers being broken down between God and man, that sin, that injustice, that inequality would be no more in this new world that Jesus was at work bringing into the world. Jesus' name brings with it hope for a future, for those who are in power, for those who like things the way that they are. Then this might not be a message that they wanted to hear. But there is no need for anyone to be concerned, because we know that our God is good. We know that his plans are perfect. We know that he loves us all. We know that he longs for us to know him and to love him more. Not only can we trust our God, but Jesus shows us that his death no longer has the final say. Because of what Jesus has done in defeating death by raising to life again, we too have a hope of life after death, a hope of being reunited with our God. Peter and John understood this hope that Jesus provided, and they could not keep quiet about it. They saw what Jesus had done for them. They had experienced the difference and the hope that they had seen in him. And they wanted more and more people to know that hope for themselves. In our world today, I think we need to hear this message of hope. We need to hear that what we see in our world is not all that we can hope for. There is a future that is far greater than the world of injustice and inequality and pain that we too often know today. Our world needs to hear that there is hope for our world, of a time when people do not fight and kill over disagreements about religion or national identity or political opinion or whatever it might be. Our world needs to know that there is hope, that there is a time when all will have all that they need, where people will be able to eat what they have been provide for themselves instead of being hungry and being malnourished. The people of Nepal need to know that there is hope, that in and amongst all the pain and all the suffering that is that country is facing at the moment, there is hope to be found in the name of Jesus. Our world needs to know that there is hope of a time where we will be able to see and worship our God in the world as he intended it to be. Our world needs to hear this message. But there may be people here today who in the roughness of life have struggled to see and hold on to the fact that there is a hope of a better future. Maybe there are people here today who need to be reminded that there is hope for us as well because of Jesus. Peter and John proclaimed this message of hope so urgently that they were arrested. When we are out interacting with our friends, when we're out with our colleagues or with our neighbours or whoever it is that we see on a day-to-day basis, how do we communicate the hope that Jesus has given to us? Do we offer to pray for those that we speak to, explaining that we can have hope in the God who answers prayer and who is working to make the world right again? Do we offer comfort to those who are facing painful, difficult, challenging situations that we could never imagine, knowing that we have a God who understands the pain and the difficulty that they are facing and who longs for it to be no longer like that? Do we tell our friends that we have a hope in Jesus, that our lives are more than just a few decades on this earth, and instead that we've got a hope of meeting and knowing more fully the God who created all things? Jesus is the foundation of the hope of our world. As his followers, we need to think about how we communicate that hope that is found in him, that we know, so that others might know it in their lives too. Peter and John proclaimed a message of hope for the future, but they also demonstrated the power that was available through Jesus. At the start of chapter 3, Peter and John healed a man who had been lame for all his life by Peter saying to him, "I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you, get up and walk." And as we get to chapter 4, it becomes clear that this wording that Peter used as he healed this man was no coincidence. As in verse 8, we hear him say to the Sadducees and to the priests again, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all people of Israel should know, that this man stands before you completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Jesus is at work in our world, restoring it to be a world that God intended it to be. Jesus had shown his power and what he was able to do when he defeated death, when he rose from the tomb that Easter Sunday morning. But this was just the start of what Jesus had set out to do. Through the lives of his followers and through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, God was going to continue to do great and marvelous things in this world. As Jesus rose again from the dead, he gave a hope to the future, or for the future even. As the disciples went out into the world to tell of the hope that was available in Jesus, they were able to bring that hope into reality for all those that they encountered. Our faith is not a nominal and insignificant faith. Jesus has not given us a hope, has not only given us a hope, but has also given us the ability to make a huge difference in our world, not by our own efforts, but by the power of the Spirit being at work in our lives. Each one of us who believes that Jesus is God, that he died and that he rose again for each of our sins, has the Spirit of God living inside us, the same Spirit that made the lame man walk in Acts chapter 3. God used Peter and John to do amazing things so that the restoration and fulfillment of our world might be just a little bit closer. In doing so, one man's life was totally transformed. I wonder, how might God be able to use each one of us powerfully as we seek to follow him, just like he did with Peter and John? It might be that in the quiet example that you set to those around you, God's Spirit is at work through your life, revealing more of God's plans to the world around you. But Peter and John also expected God to do great things through them, so that the hope that is found in Jesus might become a reality. Do we still have the same hope and the same expectancy to see God bring hope to people's lives today as Peter and John did? Do we expectantly hope that, as we've already prayed this morning, that God's kingdom will come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus makes an impact on our world because his name, his Spirit, has the power to make the difference in our world. Will we be channels today through which the name and the Spirit of Jesus can be at work, bringing hope to people's lives today in amazing, wonderful ways. God was at work through Peter and John as they healed the lame man and as they spoke to the Sadducees. And in verse 13, I think there is an important point for us to recognize as we look at this passage. This verse tells us that the members of the council were amazed to see how bold Peter and John were and to learn that they were ordinary men of no education. They realized that they had been companions of Jesus. When the author of the Acts, book of Acts, describes Peter and John as ordinary men of no education, it doesn't mean that they were totally illiterate people. Rather, it means that they were people who just hadn't received any formal education or priestly training. Peter and John were just ordinary people who were being bold and who were seeking to follow Jesus with all that they were. And yet, despite their ordinariness, despite their lack of training, God was able to use them, to speak through them, to the point that the religious leaders were surprised that they'd never received any theological training. You don't have to go to Spurgeon's College to be a good Christian today. There's no need for that. The power of the Spirit working through our lives can equip us to serve our God. There may be people here this morning who feel like you would struggle to serve God and to enable him to impact the world around you through your life. There may be people here who feel too ordinary to be used by God. Maybe you don't feel confident that you know God or that you know your Bible well enough. Maybe physically you think that you would struggle to see how God could possibly use you to make an impact on our world. Maybe you just feel ordinary and nothing special to God. However you feel, but especially if you feel ordinary, let me encourage you today that God will use you regardless of how you feel. God can use us, ordinary individuals, to go and to reveal the hope that Jesus has demonstrated to our world. God can use us to start to fulfill the hope that he has for our world today. If we want to be used by God, like he used Peter and John in this passage, then we need to do the same as the Sadducees observed in Peter and John in verse 13. As the leaders looked out, they saw these two men. They saw two men who were bold and who had been companions of Jesus. If we are going to experience the power, if we are going to experience the hope of Jesus in our lives today, are we willing to be bold? Are we willing to be companions of Jesus? Are we willing to go and see the impact that his name can make in our world today? Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that despite all that we see in our broken and fallen world, that despite all that we have experienced in our own lives, we thank you that we can be sure that there is a hope for a future because of what Jesus has done for each one of us. Lord God, we pray that you might make us to be agents of your hope in our world. We pray that we might be people who spread your love, your heart, your values throughout our lives, and that people would encounter you in all that we do. We pray that we might not be people who are content with your Spirit working quietly in our lives. We pray that you would help us to be expectant followers of you. Help us to expect to see you do amazing things to fulfill the hope that you have promised to the world. Lord God, we pray again that you would move powerfully again through our lives, that your kingdom would come, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.